There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm going to shut this fool up for good.
Mr. T, what a way to start the week, Mr. T. Hi, hello everyone. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. It is Monday. I don't even know the date. Where's my little... The 11th of October already? Really?
Yes.
It's the 11th of October.
Yes.
Where has my life gone?
I don't know.
What have you people done with my life?
You wasted it.
Wow. Well, it is a lovely 5:01 p.m. here on the west coast in the central California highlands of the Sequoia Mountains, but it's the Sierra Nevada Mountains just outside Sequoia National Park. And we're in a little hamlet known as the Commonwealth of Kaweah, K-A-W-E-A-H. Google it. And come up North Fork Road, and you'll see our little transmission station. You can see our satellite dish. You can see everything. Although I know those aren't live photos. I was going to say I could send Lou outside to wave at the satellite, but they're like year old. Several. I think they still show the church as yellow, don't they?
White.
They show it as white.
It's never yellow.
I thought it was yellow. Wasn't it yellow?
Beige.
The church was beige. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and along with Lou and Stacy and Debbie, who's behind me, we come to you Monday through Friday when we can, right here on U Broadcast. We're also going out over Scotty 38 Network, which is the Finger Lakes region of New York, on Channel 2. We're also replayed much later on The Watchmen. We get picked up by PBN, Patriot Broadcasting Network. Liberty Tree Radio picks us up. I don't know if they're picking us up now. Sometimes they do the whole 2 hours. So you never know. But we're being picked up all over the place, retransmitted, shortwave, whatever. If you're listening to us on shortwave, and I haven't checked my email for like 4 days, you can tell by my voice I'm feeling a little ragged. I don't know what it is. Everybody's kind of dragging around here. But you can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. Dutch, D-U-T-C-H, at D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S.info. And let me know where you're hearing it. And if you're one of the people that are buying this and downloading it off of eBay, that's fine too. I don't care if somebody... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just looked last week. It's like the Lentil Guy or Super Lentil Man or... He does Nicholas's stuff. He does my stuff. Oh, well, you got to look at Dutch Jones' show. Yeah, well, I found it, and it's there, and he's selling the shows for 99 cents each. Or you could just take advantage of what listener, friend of the program, Olima, has done, and over at Daisy Door, you can get to this by our link at, what's our website?
DutchJones.info.
DutchJones.info. I'm really tired. DutchJones.info, and you can go to the archives that are there. And thanks to Olimai, you can download the archive. So thank you, and welcome to all our pod people. In the room today, we got Scotty, Olimai, Carla, Princess Carla. Warland's back. I got an email from you today. I can't remember if it was Facebook or regular email. Of course, the two Dutch Jones, a few guests, and my lovely wife are in the chat room. That's the quickest way to get a message to us. Wherever you're listening, if you go to ubroadcast.com, that's U, the letter U, the word broadcast.com. And just look for Dutch Jones, and you'll find us.
I usually go to Channels and Most Viewed.
Yeah, Channels, Most Viewed. If you go to Live right now, we'll be up. I don't know. I think we're in Live.
I'm going to
go away for a minute here, guys, in the chat room and see where we are on Live.
We're on the first page.
And what your mission is to let other people know about the radio show. about the website, about the Facebook page, direct them. We just had a person that we go to church with just added us on Facebook so they could listen. Where are we? Oh, I got to go to Most Viewed. And, you know, Facebook's a good way to get a hold of me. I try to answer.
There you are.
Yeah, there we are. We're like number seven
six,
on...
I think.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We're seventh right now on the live broadcast.
Oh, live.
Yeah, so that's good. Let's see. Nicholas is number four. Oh, wait, no. First Amendment's number one. First Amendment's number one, and Liberty Radio is number four. And the other stuff in between us and him, I don't know what it is. No, we're on live, and it's listed by Most Viewed. Okay, let me go. How do I go back to... How do I go back?
Hit back.
Yeah, I guess I just hit back, huh?
Yeah.
I got a lot of emails from people asking me to talk about certain things all the time. And the one thing that the people really wanted to hear about, which I think has been covered by other shows, but I will touch on it briefly, is the Oath Keepers. Family that had their child taken. Now, I read a little bit about it. It says that, and on first blush, I try not to get too excited about stuff on first blush, because when I first see them, I take them on face value. Because when I do that, sometimes I'm wrong. I've gotten on a couple bandwagons here in the last few years, and then two or three days into the event, you find out, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I got to turn off Alice Cooper here. Come on, Alice. Come on. Let me turn you off. Give me the controls. Yeah. Alice Cooper does know where we live. I sent pictures of you sleeping to Alice Cooper with GPS coordinates, Stacy.
Okay.
But this thing about the baby, on its face, it's abhorrent. That they would take a child because you belong to a militia or a political organization. I read three or four articles. I looked at some videos, listened to some audio. Apparently, they're contesting that there is domestic abuse in the family. That's why they took the kid. It's funny, they leave kids in families until they get killed, but in this case, because they happen to be an Oath Keeper. And I'm not for or against the Oath Keepers. I think it's a great idea. I thought we were all Oath Keepers who were in the military, but other people are talking about it, so I didn't get too crazy about it. You know, I got angry. We talked about it during announcements in church yesterday, and we're just a little bit furious about that. But yeah, so I do know about it, so you can stop sending me all the video links and everything. It's just I don't have any personal connection to it. I don't have any inside scoop. All I don't know about it is what you read. So if I'm sharing stuff with you, I'm not gonna give you any insight into it. We'll just pray for the parents, pray for the baby, and I can tell you this: if it is true, we need to keep a list of names of everyone involved in the abduction of this child. And when this thing's over, if they're still around, they need to be tried and hung. They get a fair trial and hung in the same day. Let's put it that way. But I can tell you this much. You guys don't know me. I mean, Chuck and Carla kind of know us now. They spent about a week, 6 days with us. Almost a week. And they got to see how we function, and what you see is what you get kind of thing. You know, if the federal government came in and took my kid making up stories, there would be a body count. Definitely. I wouldn't allow them to take my child, but let's say they, you know, Lou was off skipping in a field somewhere chasing baby deer, and they got him, and I wasn't able to stop them from taking him, which I find hard to believe that they could take Lou. Maybe my child, Anthea, but Lou, I think he put up a pretty good fight. But let's say they took my daughter, our daughter, Anthea. I simply would find the head of the CPS for the county, and I would kidnap their children and hold them ransom for an exchange. And if they didn't do that, then I would start ticking off CPS workers. I don't mean making them angry either. I would start with mid-management and work my way up. And if they want to hold my daughter, it would be at a huge cost to them. And I know what you're saying. Well, they'd never give her back then. You know, they never give her back then. Well, at that point, we're at war. When they're taking hostages of our children like this, we're at war. Now, I don't know these people that their babies were taken from. I got a bunch of stuff. Remember a few months ago when that family named their baby Adolf Hitler?
Oh, yeah.
And they came and took it. And
I think Aryan Nation.
And the little girl was Aryan Nation. You know, and on its face, I was like, well, I don't like Nazis. You know, but thinking about it, you can name your kid whatever you want. When the kid turns 16, 17, you know, you can start changing its name or whatever, but... when the federal government steps in like this, I usually assume they're wrong. Let's put it that way. But I don't want to be so quick. But the picture of the mom and the dad hugging, that hardly looked like a family in turmoil. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, but you don't know. And I'm not saying anything, I haven't heard anything. And on its face, I would side with the family on this one. But we should be looking out for this. This could be an indicator. This could be a sign. This could be a harbinger. Is that the word I'm looking for? A hairbringer? A harbinger? Of can I get some water, Stace? Yeah, I don't. I always tend to go against federal government and law enforcement. I mean, even in these DUI checkpoints, I think they're, you know, they're trumping up stuff. Not to get off on a tangent, but they just indicted five police officers from Fresno. Remember, I'm always telling you how Fresno's a shooting gallery. Well, they just indicted five officers federally. I think three turned themselves in so far for torturing a guy with a less lethal shotgun. They kept shooting him with bean bags. I think they tased him, stepped on his head, did all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay, first of all, what did that fella do?
Yeah. I think he was a homeless guy with a knife, is what he was. But once you subdue the person, you don't keep wailing on him. But we're going to see more and more of this, I mean, outright, not, it's not just a miscarriage of justice, because they're outlaws. They call us in the militia outlaws. If I went and took somebody's baby because I said, I think the dad's a bad guy, and I think the baby would be better in our house, what's going to happen to me?
Go to jail?
Yeah. You know, they'd put me under the jail. And it's just another sign of the times, folks. I was having a running discussion. I think Carla was in. Oh, hello, Iowa 1. I always say Iowane. Iowa 1, welcome in. I think it was Carla was on that thread on Facebook where, you know, I was talking about this, where now's the time. We've passed the tipping point. Like the next topic we're going to talk about here on the ammo regulations here in California. Excuse me, I need to take a drink of water. You should never drink milk just before you're going to go on air. I knew that. It's basic from broadcast school when I was 15 years old at Ames Community College there. I think Mr. Hansen was my teacher in the high school extension program.
Have some chocolate, too.
Yeah, I'll eat some chocolate and some milk, and you go on the air to make your voice sound like this. So I'm drinking a little bit of water here. But, yeah, I'm getting your emails on it. We prayed openly in church for the baby and for the family and against. We did. I personally did an imprecatory prayer. You know, you just heard what I said. There would be a body count until mine was tallied. Let's put it that way. And then I'm sure Stacy would pick up my weapon and continue the fight. It's almost like we're in a fictional time, isn't it? I mean, we just watched the new Robin Hood, which I'm not crazy about the new Robin Hood with Russell Crowe. I love the message. Yeah, Peter Hammond didn't like it either. No, that was the other Robin Hood, this is the new one with Russell Crowe. No, he's talking about the last one when they had a Muslim that was a hero in it. So it's like you look back at that, and I love it because I always do this when I watch these historical fictional twist movies. It's like, no way, man, we wouldn't take that. There's no way we'd let them come into our house and ravage our children and our wives and take whatever they want. Well, we're doing it now. Yeah. I said, wait a minute, we are doing it now. It's happening, people. It's happening all across the country. It's been happening around the world for decades. And here in America, we've been all cushy and insulated from it, mostly because a lot of it was our fault. No, I'm not saying America's chickens have come home to roost. I'm just saying that the world situation and tyranny has caught up to us. This, the second war of federal aggression. I got to move my microphone. Hang on, guys. It's going to be loud. Oh, maybe not too loud. There we go. Good. So I can bang on the desk and it won't go through when I get mad. But we're seeing the same things now. The problem is that we've got what I like to call the Serengeti complex. Remember when you were a kid and Sunday afternoons you'd watch like Mutual of Omaha? I could call it the Mutual of Omaha complex. When they'd show like the predators, specifically, let's go to the alpha predator there in the Serengeti or in Africa on the plains. The lion. You have a herd of zebras, and the lion pride is stalking it, and they focus on one weak one, one to the rear. They don't attack the strong. They don't attack the swift. They attack the weak. And when all that, you know, the whole herd's, you know, in a flutter when the pride of lions is going, but as soon as one of the fallen ones goes down, one of the weak ones goes down, and the lion pride, you know, going through their pecking orders eating, all the other zebras stop and graze 10 feet from the carnage, as if nothing had happened. They just look the other way, and they have the and you know, it's like a flock or a school, like a school of fish mentality. It's like, oh, hey, at least it wasn't me. We all do it. And if you don't believe me, think about it when you're driving, and you know, and the highway patrol is out there ripping people off, And you're like, whew, that guy, I didn't get pulled over, but look at that poor schmuck over there. We have this Mutual of Omaha, Serengeti, wild herd animal mentality, and we forget about it and we moved on. Wasn't it Marlon Perkins or Marlon Perkins? Well, yeah, and then he had that other guy that was like Tarzan that did everything. Jim. Yeah. And that's the way we are in America now. It's like, wow, I can't believe they took that kid. I can't believe they took that kid. If that happened to me, this is what would happen. But I know there's protests and stuff around them, but we've got to act regionally. I used to say we have to act locally, but in something like that, act regionally. If that had been within a couple hours of here, we'd be there protesting with them. You know, it's, I think it said Concord. I don't know if it was Massachusetts. I forgot. New Hampshire. There's Concords everywhere on the East Coast. There's
Farewell,
even Concord here. What?
Farewell, sweet Concord.
Not the horse. The city. But we see that, and we're just like, oh, it's like the opposite of the Oz effect, you know, where once we see what's behind the curtain, we're disillusioned and everything. This is, we see some the other, you know, other zebra getting hit. We're like, oh, okay. Well, that gives me one more day on the Serengeti. Well, that's not the way it should be. If the zebra all turned and started kicking the crud out of those lions and protected their weak and their young, we wouldn't have it. And I feel we're to that point in certain enclaves, certain groups, you'll have that kind of... And they leave you alone. Somebody said, how come the church at Kauai hasn't been raided? I go, one, we're not doing anything illegal.
Yeah, we're not doing nothing.
We're not outlaws by the letter of the law. They may consider us wackos and stuff up here, honestly.
Yeah,
but we're not outlaws. You know, and if we get somebody that comes in that's an outlaw, we're like, hey, take that stuff and get out of here. We know they can make stuff up. Why make it easy for them? And we're telling the truth. And we keep doing it. And when they do attack one of our weak, the church rallies around them and does everything within their power through prayer warrior stuff and actual legal battles and whatever it takes to make sure that they don't railroad one of our own. We do that. So they leave us alone. They go looking for the weaker, standalone people. And next is going to be the Tea Party people. Watch, they're going to start doing stuff to Tea Party members. Oh, you're a Tea Party member? Oh, you're an organizer? And you know how I feel about the Tea Party. I'm not crazy about it. Man, we better have your kids psychologically analyzed. Fringe churches, just like when they went after the Davidians. Because we all were like, wow, that's kind of a cult thing going on there. Kind of wackos. Ruby Ridge, they painted him as a white supremacist, when in fact he was nothing more than a white separatist, which is a completely different beast. They wanted to turn him into an undercover supremacist. He's like, no, I don't even want to go hang out with those people. Of course, So they killed his kid, killed his wife, you know, all kinds of stuff. And they're going to start doing more of it. They back off. They go in pulses. It's kind of that Hegelian dialect. Two steps forward, one step back. They're still advancing. They're still advancing, even if we push them back that one step. And actually, I think it's more like five steps forward, one step back. And with that, I'm going to talk about in the next few minutes about this new law that's coming into effect. I can't remember the number. But it's a law now. It's been signed. The so-called Republican governor, all you people that think that the Republicans are good. Here in California, starting February 1st, 2011, any pistol caliber ammunition, any round that will fit in a pistol, that means .223, .308, because they'll fit in Striker pistols, they'll fit in Thompson Center Firearms pistols, you're now limited to 50 rounds, well, not now, but starting February 1st, you will be limited to 50 rounds per month purchase. You'll have to give it some kind of picture ID, a thumbprint, and register to tell them where the ammo's going. And that's for pistol and some rifle rounds. Don't act like you don't know. You've already heard this. Stacey's all acting like she's never heard of it.
No, I mean, that's
what?
The thumbprint.
Yeah, they want to know where you're from. They want to know where you're going. That's why they want your ID, your driver's license number. So you'll be getting like a background check after you buy it. So they can say, hey, man, this felon, he came in and he bought 50 rounds of 9mm. And then they're going to come, well, why'd you buy ammo? You're not supposed to have a gun. What do you got ammo for? Then the other thing is you won't be able to import on your own anymore, which means you can't go on the internet or in mail. You can't go to Cabela's anymore if you live in California. And there's some reloading stuff in there that I'm not too clear on. But basically what they're going to do is they're going to make all of us illegal because we're going to try and get our ammo, right? And then what the next thing will be, they'll do amendments to that saying you have to store it in a certain way. Well, the number one supplier of ammo in California is Walmart. They're also the cheapest. Well, they just said we're not going to sell ammo. It's too much of a hassle. And a lot of gun shops are going to do that because they're going to be really looked at. So we're really pushing for people to, in California, like in the next 2 months, 3 months. In fact, we've canceled our training. We usually do training this time of year, and it costs us about $400 each. And So we decided rather than do our 4 days of training with our top-notch instructors, we're going to take that $400 and go to places and get ammo, because it's still legal to get ammo in bulk here. You know, if we have to go to Nevada to do it or something. We don't know if it'll be illegal to drive it, and it probably will be, because it'll put you in the class of a smuggler. It'll put you in the class of a, you know, like a rum runner. So they're just creating a black market so that they can make it illegal. You remember, they make you an outlaw by moving the law, not you stepping outside the law. And what's weird is there's no protest for this from any, you know, all you people that love the NRA.
I don't understand that.
All you people, I'm tightening my sandal. All you people that love, you know, the Gun Owners of America, the California Right, not one of them. I didn't see anything on it. I went on these websites. They're not even talking about it. Because it's not guns. No, they're not taking your guns. Sure, they're just taking your ammo. What was the thing that at Lexington and Concord that the British troops were coming to get, folks? Powder and ball that was taken from Fort William and Mary and what the militia had stored up. To say it's happening. They don't do anything new, folks. They just package it differently. So you need to have a minimum. Now listen to me. People have sent me a bunch of emails on this because we have a lot of California listeners. You need a minimum of 1,000 rounds of ammo for your main battle rifle. You should be able to carry 250 rounds around there on your body. Have at least 5 magazines full of ammo. What?
Without the ammo, you can't protect yourself.
Well, right.
What's good of a gun?
Yeah, if you can't feed that AR-15, it's a club.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that this does is it keeps us from training with live fire. That's fine. That's great, because, you know, we don't want to use up our reserves to do our live fire training. If you've been doing this long enough, you can get by with dry fire practice. You can get by with airsoft. We switched to airsoft last year because we saw this coming. You know, and granted, we went out and got really nice $300 airsoft rifles that shoot a little further, feel heavy like an M4, and that's what we use. We just have to get creative, folks. It's not over. I laugh in their face. When they say, aha, we're going to take your ammo, you're just going to make me bury more of it. Just like when Obongo got elected, he was the number one gun salesman in America. Number one gun salesman in America, Obongo. And I know a lot of people now, they're trying to get rid of all lead ammo in California. Right now where we are, we're not supposed to have lead ammo. We're in this fish and game zone for the Condor from the 99 freeway to, I don't know where it ends, but I think it ends in Owensville.
Yeah. Turkey vulture.
Well, they taste like turkey. The condor tastes a lot like turkey, and the last one I saw tasted really good. Remember, you hit it with a car? It was on the road? I've never even seen a condor except in a zoo.
Yeah.
But they'll keep chipping away. Oh, we're not going for your guns. So all the mainstream bandwagon patriots, no, they're not going for our guns. And the other one is, oh, that's California. Screw them. Let them take it. Whatever happens here happens where you're at. It's like throwing a pebble in a pond and you get the waves that come out. Eventually, that will be crashing upon your state shores. You go, look, California got away with it. Nobody's even protesting it. We only want our people to have 50 rounds of ammo a month. I keep telling you, we're in a state of grace right now. The Lord's given us time, but that door may be closing. That door may be closing. I also got asked a lot this week, what's the difference between the militia and everybody else? Why a militia? Why not just a bunch of, you know, angry citizens running in the streets? Well, for two things. One, the angry citizens in the street, that's vigilantism. You don't have the authority of the sword from God. If you're in the militia, a militia is a biblical entity. It's a jurisdictional, well-defined. There were militias in the Old Testament. There were militias in the New Testament. More in the Old Testament, of course. But the difference between a militiaman or a woman, and if you didn't hear our great interview with the women that were training up here last week, I think it was Wednesday, go back and listen to it, last Wednesday's show. Men and women are called to use the sword to defend our faith, our families, our churches. They just have different roles in that defending of it. But the difference between a militia person and everybody else is a militia person has the understanding, the knowledge, the equipment, the discipline and the ability to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord for the holy cause of liberty. And I would say, take one step further. They have the courage to step into the light instead of hiding in the corners like a lone wolf. And I'm not knocking all you lone wolves that listen. We got a lot of them. But a militia person has the courage. And some people go, well, it's just stupid to make it obvious. Hey, I'm a militia. Like, I, you know, on my Facebook page, I got a big thing that Lou made for me. This Uncle Sam, I want you to join the Christian militia. I'm not going to hide. When the guerrilla fighting starts, yeah, I'm not going to be a high target. The radio show will go shortwave and We won't be making it easy for them to find us. Maybe there won't even be a radio show when it starts fighting, you know. When I disappear for like 2 weeks in a row, you know it's gone. You know I'm on the run. You know I'm like David and I'm in the hills. I've gone with our group and we're, you know, living in the caves. It's just what's going to happen. And more and more today, especially, a lot of my emails are like, is this the time? Is this when? We live in an age when we know it's going to happen. We won't know if it's tomorrow or the next day. But once we're standing ankle deep in it, we'll know it happened. That's the only advice I can give you. When I go back and look historically and biblically, just like with the American Revolution, if it's war they want, let it be on our doorsteps, but let them fire the first round. Because we are righteous. We are righteous. And some say they've already fired the rounds. Waco, you know, with the weavers being murdered and all the children at Waco. I tend to agree with that, but I think here's exactly what I think. And this is not the view of the church, it's not the view of our pastor, or probably anybody else in this room. The minute they murdered the children at Waco, we were in a state of war. That's what, for me. When Waco burned, and those children were murdered and butchered by that Dyke Reno, and the rest of the FBI, and all those ATF rescue, hostage rescue team guys, for me, that's when the war started. That's when I went underground. That's when I started stockpiling training and started trying to educate myself. And I'm not the same person I was that day I saw that compound burn, that church. Everybody hates it when I call it a compound. The day that church burned, I stopped being an American citizen. I became a self-chosen opponent of all things federal on that day. And I retook my oath that I took when I went into the Army. To the Constitution, not to the occupational government that's over there in Washington, D.C. I've been at a state of war already. Just like, and I explain it to people like this. Remember when during the Cold War, we were at war with Russia. People were dying all over the world. It just wasn't Americans and a few Russians. Spies were dying, turning up dead. Espionage was big. I look at this as a Cold War. The American government and the New World Order have declared war on all free peoples, especially the citizens of the United States. I don't consider myself a citizen, but you get what I mean. People live within these geographical boundaries. The only thing is that we haven't had a front or a major battle yet. And when it does go off, we're going to know it. And everybody's all, you know, this side bet that's going on with the election coming up in November. It's a farce. It's a joke. Everybody go, ooh, we got kicked everybody out. We got good people in. Within 6 months, they're going to be giving you excuses to why they can't get anything done. Stop sending me stuff on Ron Paul. I could care less about Ron Paul anymore. Unless Ron Paul starts appearing in public with a pistol on his hip and tactical gear on saying it's time to fight, I'm not going to listen to him. So, I can hear the music. We're coming up on a break. Make sure you go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We are hurting. We are hurting. We've got to make some payments. Go there and donate, please. $5, $10, $15, whatever it takes. Otherwise, we will not be on for a couple of weeks until we get some more money. I'm not threatening you. I'm not saying, hey, God's going to take me unless I get donations. It's just a cold, hard fact. We had vehicle repairs that ate up our reserve this month. $204 starter. And blessings and thank you to Chuck for putting that in for us. It's working great. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. on a second, folks. We didn't drop out. We're trying to fix the echo. And Lou just hit a button. I told him to, and he wouldn't. It messed us all up. The music will be back up in a minute. Hang on, folks. Where'd it go? That is freaky weird. Just get a song going. I'll stretch. This is what happens. We don't know. The computer started shaping the sound. You can hear a little bit of an echo in the music, and we don't know why. And when he went to turn off the echo, it stopped playing music. So just bring up the song again. Can you advance it? Here, hang on. Advance it so it's like halfway through the song. Okay, let it play. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. If you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for...
Dutch, Joe's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Back to work, fool!
Yes, back to work for the Dutch Jones Family Radio Program. We are back. Got an email during the break, and I posted the link in there. In the chat room, it's way too long for me, but I guess it's audio stuff talking about the baby being born and stolen by the federal government. And if you really want to, you know, upset your Wheaties or whatever you're eating right now while you're listening to the show, when you get a chance to do that, I'm just I'm past the point of furious. Is there something greater than furious? But it's like a controlled enragement. I got to come up with a word. Somebody's got to help me here. Yeah, well, I'm enraged, but it's controlled. It's not like I'm a berserker running. I'm just to the point now where everywhere I go, I've got a weapon. Everywhere I go, I'm on a hair trigger because I'm just waiting for him to do something stupid. You know? And it's like, I don't know the day that this thing's going to start, but like I said, I know we'll know when we're in it. And when they send the troops up, you know, it's like somebody asked yesterday why we don't keep weapons and stuff at the church like a big, you know, armory. And we're like, well, why give them one more excuse if we all decentralize? Every man, the Minuteman attitude, every Minuteman and every woman that supports them, you know, has their own weapon and ready to go. They can't fight that. If we all rally around one building and put everything in, we've seen what they do. We've seen how they butcher and murder women and children without even thinking twice about it. But if we continue to be like gnats or mosquitoes and they just keep swatting at us, but yet we just keep nibbling away. Right now, all we can do is just practice, you know, getting away from them and train to confront them with force when the time comes. It's a wonderful thing. The training that you guys should be focusing on now should be cell tactics. I know people hate hearing that because it sounds so communist. But two or three people doing as much damage as possible, get in, get out. Those of you that are going to be doing like, oh, I'm going to harden my house and stay. No, the only reason I teach people to harden their house is to give them a few minutes leeway to get away. The best way to win a fight is not to be there when the guy hits back. Do a decisive first strike and get out. And as militia guys, we probably can't do that. So we have to be more surgical. We have to realize what are the high-value targets. We have to wait for those things. But when the time comes, and if we're not observant and they come knocking at our door, you don't have time to make that decision. Am I going to fight? Am I going to read their paperwork? Am I going to go to the door on my knees, you know, and just say, okay, take me? That should already be decided in your heart today at this very moment. It's kind of like making a decision for Christ. You either are or you aren't, buddy. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either lying to yourself, kidding yourself, or you're letting other people lie to you and kid you. You got to be very clear in your mind and in your heart and in your soul with your family, if you got them, with your friends, with your churchmates, on what you're going to do. What's the answer? What's a graduated response? What you know, I always say meet with greater force if possible, if not evade and harass. That's always been my attitude in the little bit of guerrilla war fighting that I've studied, the history that I've studied, Sun Tzu all the way up to Napoleon, up, you know, to World War II, Vietnam. Study the Viet Cong. For every Viet Cong in the field, wasn't it something like 40 people supporting him? I mean, it's an inverted pyramid, you know, or depends on where you're looking at. He's the tip of the iceberg. Do you have 40 people that will support you so you can fight? We do here, but I don't think you do. I know very few people that can say that because they've made the cardinal sin of running away from other like-minded people over doctrinal things, over, you know, they wear the wrong camouflage, or I don't like them because they carry 38s instead of 9mm. Yeah, acorns are hitting the roof. That wasn't a gunshot. We got these gigantic acorns here. They're like 2.5-3 inches long. They hit you in the head. It's like getting an arrow shaft to the top of your skull. Some of these oak trees are tall, so if you hear something hit the roof, it's not gunfire. I'll let you know when I'm shooting back. I'll turn the mic all the way up so you guys can hear me go out a blaze of glory. I lost my train of thought on the acorn. Oh, the networking, the cell structure. You've got to stick with the cell structure. 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And even when it comes to your training, like, you're not going to hear me discussing our detailed training anymore. Our public training, yeah. You know. Yeah, manna from heaven. There's food falling from the sky. The acorns. They taste terrible, though, unless you boil them a real long time. They got tannic acid in them. I met some local Indians up here. You know, the two of them that are still left are the Yokuts that use the acorns, and I learned how to do that. But they're not Najavahos. No, they're Yokuts. It's like, how's your cut doing? I don't know. How's your cut doing? I got a big cut on my thumb right now. I was showing Lou how to safely sharpen a knife. And I was talking to Stacy, and she made me laugh, and I sliced the base of my thumb open. No, you didn't make me mad. You made me laugh.
Oh, I thought you said
yeah, you made me mad, woman, so I cut myself. No. But if we don't reach out and don't have this structure, you're going to lose. Without God performing a miracle in your life, unless you're Gideon, and I know I'm not. You know, he can work in my life. I know he can. He's done in others, but I don't know if I'm worthy of it. So I'm not counting on that. There's so many Christians who are like saying, the Lord will provide everything we need. And I'm like, really? Really? What about the parable of the farmers, the two farmers? They were waiting for rain. One farmer sat and prayed all day and did nothing. He just prayed. The other farmer prayed and went out and plowed his farm. And everyone's like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm preparing for rain. We in the Christian militias, all the militias need to do this, whether they're Christian or not, need to be preparing for rain, folks. You need to be plowing your field. And once he sees you're diligent, he will provide for you. He will give you the rain, the sunshine. He will give you the seeds that you need. He will send people to you. It's funny. It's like, and I'm going to go a little personal here in our group. I've had a lot of people leave. You guys know that. I know they listen, and they're a bunch of whiny babies. They're because of fear or whatever. They're goats. When you lose a sheep from the flock, Jesus went and got it. But when the goats disappeared, he said, let them be gone. Better that they never knew me. We're the same way. And I'm seeing this cohesiveness now. The smaller the group gets, the tighter we're getting. You know, we're not tiny, but we've lost a good number of people. But we, and I don't even know how to go in, we had someone with a great resource come in and say, hi. I was here a few months ago. I love your church. I've been following you guys online. I know what you're doing. I just bought a house at the end of the runway in the old airport. And I got airplanes. And I'd like to join your group. Another guy, we got a fire truck. We want to join your group. One or two leave. Three or four are coming to us. You know, and there's the courtship there. We got to make sure that we get along with them. They get along with us. Because, you know, you don't want completely different views on how we should be doing this. But there's a courtship period. I mean, I told you guys about Chuck and Carla coming. I loved it. I was sad when they left. I wish they were still here today. But God has different callings for us, and we can't force people or force these relationships. So it takes time and effort. I think it is harder to build your cell of people than it is for you to get trained. I don't care if you're, you know, we're a veteran of, you know, 6 tours in Afghanistan right now. You come home, you're ready to go, you're aware, you're a Christian. It's going to be harder for you to find other like-minded people that you can trust than it was for you to go over there and fight and get all that really good training to disarm Americans. Trust me, it's hard to build relationships. How much harder will it be when we're at war, when everybody's afraid, when the villagers are afraid of reprisals from the federal soldiers or the UN? How hard will it be when you go knocking on a door in the middle of the night, hey, I'm with the resistance, I need help. You never knew that person. They're not going to trust you, and you probably shouldn't trust them. But if you build that relationship now, and you've got an uncle somewhere, you've got a coworker somewhere, and say, hey, can I put a 55-gallon drum out behind your barn and bury it? Sure, no problem. Pre-staging of equipment now is a good way to find out, you know, food, stuff. Hey, if I die, your family can eat my grits. That sounded like an insult. I didn't need to say it that way. Eat my grits. You know, we're picking up food, you know, everything we buy, we're buying an extra one. We buy one can of beans and weenies, we buy an extra one. That extra one goes into storage now. I used to say 10%, now it's 50%, huh? 50% of everything we're doing. And if that means I have to be a little lean right now, so be it. Well, I could use it anyway. I mean, good thing the camera's not on. But 50% of everything we buy, if we buy a bag of rice, or what was it, lentil beans? Lentil. Lentils. Lou wants to try lentils. We watched this comedy show from the 80s where all they ate was lentils, and he wants to try it now. And I'm hoping he likes it. If he likes it, because lentils are a good base for a soup. You know, we could put squirrel heads in it. We could put whatever we want in it. So, that's how our efforts are going up. People are asking, well, how are you reacting, you know, Dutch? My verbiage has stayed the same. I still loathe the enemy. I respect them, but I loathe them. And I love my enemy, too. That's a topic for another show. People go, how can you, you know, tell us to shoot them in the face when they come for our kids and say you're loving them? Well, the best thing I can do is put an end to their madness. That's how much I love them. They're working for the wrong side of the coin. They're working against God. The best thing that could happen to them is to be saved. If they refuse to be saved, the even better thing that can happen to them is to be removed from this earth.
Well, shooting them in the throat isn't very loving.
Yeah, shooting them in the throat is not very loving, Lou.
The face is.
What, Lou?
The face is loving.
I can't hear you. Move up to the mic. What?
If you get them in the face, it is loving, but in the throat, it's not.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Yeah, your mic's on. I couldn't hear you, though. If you shoot them in the face, it's loving. If you shoot them in the throat, it's just downright mean. If you dispatch them without pain in a merciful way, you kill them kosher. Kill the enemy kosher, you know. Worland's talking about the property seizures that banks are starting to scoop up. I mean, it's happening. It's all going on. They're moving their chess pieces around. That's right, Worland. Because if you don't have land, you're not as likely to fight because you're not defending your castle. Right, guys? Especially you men out there. The women like to nest, the men build castles. But it's still the same principle. When somebody comes to mess with your chicks in the nest, you're going to fight. When you're a man and someone comes to tell you that, hey, your castle's been forfeited to the duke in the next fiefdom over there because you failed to pay your taxes, what are you going to do? Well, if they show up with overwhelming force and you haven't built a relationship with all the other noblemen in the area, you're going to stand alone and you're going to burn. You're going to burn. You're going to fizzle away. I mean, in a blink of an eye, you'll be done. But if you build up a cell structure, and you have security, now's the time to be identifying targets, folks. And I'm not talking about going out with a video camera and going, ooh, look at this, look at that. You're going to draw attention to yourself. They're going to think you're a terrorist. No. Targets they're going to hit. Start identifying, you know, are we really that important? Will they come for us? And if not, exploit that. If so, start coming up with countermeasures. Make a false target that they'll like. If you're in a militia, one of the best things you could do is build a militia clubhouse and meeting place on somebody's property. Build this really nice shed. Make it look like it's full of ammo and explosives, all that stuff. But put nothing in it but a VCR and some family videos, and you go there and you meet. Distraction and deception are going to be huge weapons in this coming war. Think about how funny of a ploy that would be when they go, we're raiding the local Freeman's Militia, and the media's there. They go in, and all you've got, like, you know, fly fishing videos in this structure. Deception, deception, deception. If you know you have an infill in your group, and probably if you got more than 10 to 15 people, you do, you at least have an informant. Exploit them. Exploit them. Leak out a false training day, and then don't show up, but have people positioned high up that can see who shows up. Keep track of the vehicles that show up. See if you got a guy that always calls off sick on trainings, you know what I'm talking about. He's been to one or two this year, and that's about it. But yet he's always in there. Hey, when's the next training? When's the next training? Who's going to be there? Where's it going to be at? Oh, I'm sorry. He calls the Thursday night before. I can't make it. That's when you got to start being nervous. We had that happen here, and we know how to deal with it, and we dealt with it. You don't necessarily want to completely ostracize them, and you don't want to confront them and say, look, I know who you are. Although there may be a time for that. There may be a time for a rope and a tree, too. But right now, let's exploit these people. It's like people all the time will call the church. Hi, I'm with so-and-so, and I'm doing a documentary. Like the History Channel, I think, was the last one. National Geographic's done it. We had a lady call up who's like some kind of, she wanted to come up and take photos of us. And we're like, sure, come to church. See, we're fortunate. We have the church. So we say, yeah, come to church. And we share the gospel with them. That's our public venue. That's our public face. That's the intake. That's level zero. You know, get to know us. I mean, they've had FBI guys come here. They've had all kinds of stuff come up here. And we just love and hospitality. Love and hospitality. What is it? What is it? The monkeys on Madagascar say, "Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave." It's the penguins. Thank you. Yeah, the monkeys say, "If you got any poo, throw it now." That's tomorrow. We'll be the today. We're the penguins. Smile and wave. Do a little dance. You know, some of us have to be above line and be aggressive. Though I'm a recruiter. I'm a trainer. My job is to show people where we're at. I put the light in the North Church and say, here, react to this. And does that mean I'm going to catch a lot of flack? Does that mean maybe in the first few minutes of the volley I'm done? Yeah. But what a glorious way to go for our Lord Jesus Christ and the holy cause of liberty. I don't fear that. That's one thing. We don't fear death here. You can see the people that have left. It's a sense of fear. Even if they're making stuff up. Even if they're going, I don't like that Dutch guy. He scares me with all this doom and gloom. I can't come back to church. Why does he carry 6 magazines and a taser to church? I don't really do that. But
you don't have a taser.
I don't have a taser anymore. I broke it. I accidentally tased myself.
Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, give me a taser for Christmas, Lou.
I get you one of those.
The fear will cripple you worse than a bullet from the enemy. Fear will cripple you worse than a bullet from the enemy, because a bullet has to be aimed. Fear, you bring it upon yourself. Fear, you bring it upon yourself. We live in a day when we can't have fear. And why do we have to fear? Eternal life with Jesus Christ? So I feel bad for the militias that aren't Christian, for the men and women that aren't Christian. Sure, I love my enemy, but you know what? I love people on our side far more. I love my family, my church. I love you guys more than I love the enemy. I don't live in fear, because I know that if you know, the biggest fear I have is being eaten alive by a Bengal tiger. And what are the odds of that happening? Or maybe a great white shark, you drown. But actually,
a mountain lion and a bear.
A mountain lion and a bear would be bad at the same time fighting over me. Yeah, that could happen up here. That would be bad. And Chuck saying, can I see you taser yourself? Stacy did. She's still laughing about it. I had a flashlight taser, and I went to take it out of my pocket, and I had disengaged the safety, and I tasered myself during a Wednesday night Bible study. There was this bright blue flash while we were watching a video, and I kind of went, ugh! And I dropped the taser and broke it.
Yeah.
I can fix it. I'm just afraid to fix it.
Pain face.
Yeah, I did my pain face. It looked like I was having a stroke or a moment of an epiphany. I was like, oh, I just realized something. Yeah, I tased myself. Well, at least I know if somebody attacks me with a half of a taser, I can fight through it. The taser didn't impress me much.
It was only 10,000 watts, wasn't it?
10,000 watts. No, it was 100,000 volts. It was a cheaper one, but it was the flashlight. I still have it. I still have it. I'm going to fix it, Lou, and I'll show you how it feels.
No.
Yeah. I'll wait till you're asleep. I'll sneak into your room. Go, Louis. Louis. And I'll turn the flashlight on, and then I'll zap you. And then I go, how's that feel, Louis? We'll make a video of it. We'll put it on YouTube.
I've been wanting to tase him for a long time.
Yeah, I've been wanting to tase Lou since the day I met him.
Dang.
There was that day he came in and stole my Twinkie or whatever it was.
I never stole. You don't even eat Twinkies.
I know.
You've never ate a Twinkie.
I've never had a Twinkie in my life. Because you keep stealing them, Lou. No, we can't call in yet. We'll get the phone hooked up again. I got to run a line, and we're just having trouble with the soundboard. At the end of this week, we're going to have a different soundboard. So a bigger one. This one's perfect for this, but it doesn't like the phone. It doesn't like the phone. So we're going to have the phone have its own soundboard. Where do we put it? We leave it down there? The little soundboard?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to work it in. We'll get everything running. I was going to... Right now, we're editing the video from the conference. The video. What are there, 13 videos?
11.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do the shooting. I remember. I thought there were 13, but we didn't videotape the shooting demonstrations for obvious reasons. We did have some people videotape it, but that's okay.
Because I was in the...
Yeah, because they saw Lou was shooting.
Not in the camera guy is in the demonstration.
Yeah, the camera guy was doing the demonstration, so he can't really... I can't camera guy anymore myself. I can't be a camera guy because it's just my eyes are too bad. Oh, by the way, for those of you that were worried, that's where I was Friday. We went to the VA. We were supposed to be out of there. We were there till like 4:30, and it's like 80, 75 miles away. Whatever, and we couldn't make it back in time to do the show, so we just gave up. If we'd have known, we found out there was free Wi-Fi, like in the hospital. We should have done it from the VA. Can you imagine me sitting in the lobby of the emergency room?
Doing
a political show right there in the cafe in the basement of the VA. Oh, that'd be funny. Well, they got armed guards there. We noticed that. They have a big sign: no weapons allowed on premises. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Right, like I'm going to go on federal property unarmed, but And then they have this guy. It was a rather portly gentleman in a Department of Defense, you know, disabled or Department of Veteran Affairs car, and all he did is drive around.
Hey, did you see any big pictures of Obama in the VA?
Yeah, right in the front door when you walk in.
I seen Lincoln.
They got a gigantic. Oh yeah, but if you look to your left. She's saying there's a big picture of Lincoln when you walk in, but if you look to the left, there's Obongo there. And they got a quote from Lincoln, too.
Yeah.
You know, saying something like, I will rape your women and take your land or something like that. I don't know what it was. No, it wasn't your fault. We got there on time, actually. Chuck's asked, because thankfully he put in our starter. We got there at 10 till 2. I said, my appointment's at 2, and it just took forever.
They forgot about you, too.
Yeah, and they forgot about me. They put me in a corner with all the other disabled vets they don't like. I think I've got a flag on mine because they've got to know. They know who I am. You know, they must say, they, you know, they're probably like, oh, here's this guy. Give him, you know, and they're always, I don't know. They got to know. I don't have a delusion that nobody has any idea who Dutch Jones really is. You know, I protected my identity by killing the trash man and a couple high school janitors, but I think it's still leaked out. But getting back to the topic at point, now's the time to be doing stuff like this. Come up with nom de guerre, come up with protocols, come up with color codes and stuff between your neighbors so if they see a color in your window, they know what the status of your house is. We worked that out. We got to give you one. I think that's a great idea. If we put a piece of paper up in that window down there, you can look down and go, oh, okay, I know what's going on. You know, it's easy stuff now, but real hard to do when you're under the gun, folks. You know, everybody goes, well, we'll operate like the French Underground. How much more effective would the French Underground been if they had been a French Underground before their military laid down their weapons and ran like a bunch of wine-swilling, cheese-eating sissies? You know, if the teenagers, it was mostly teenagers and women and old men that were doing it, because all the soldiers were either killed, captured, or converted to the Axis military, right? How much better would the French underground have been if there had been an under? There should always be an underground. If you've got a government and there's a risk of tyranny, there should be an underground. It's like the fourth branch of government, the American underground. You're going to have militia and you're going to have underground. And for a while, we had that to a point. And the government knew they couldn't mess with its own people. They tried a few times and they failed, but each attempt they learned more, and now they've buddied up with the tyrants of the world, and now they know. Now they know. Well, we're getting ready to switch over to libertytreeradio.4mg.com, libertytreeradio.4mg.com. During the break, please go visit dutchjones.info. We need your support. We've got to pay this bill. I'm not going to use the gas money that I need to go see my daughter, our daughter, I keep saying mine, our daughter, to do the show. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I've already given enough. It's time for people, you know, if you haven't given, I'm not talking to you regular givers, don't double gift. If you haven't given, do it now. You can do that at the website, touchjones.info. You can send it in a card, go down and get a nice little bar mitzvah card. Put a $5 bill in there and send it to us. If you give us $10, you'll get some stuff. We'll send you stuff back. We'll send locks of loose hair. This is Dust Jones. We'll be back after the break.
All quiet along the Potomac tonight, where the soldiers lie peacefully dreaming. And they're tensing the rays on the clear autumn moon, and the light of the campfires are gleaming. There's only the sound of the lone sentry's tread as he tramps from the rock to the fountain, and thinks of the two on the low trundle bed, far away in the cot on the mountain. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. His musket falls slack, his face dark and grim, grows gentle with memories tender, as he mutters a prayer for the children asleep, and their mother may heaven defend her.
The moon seems to shine as brightly as then. That night when the love yet unspoken crept up to his lips, and when low murmured vows were pledged to be ever unbroken. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Then drawing his sleeve roughly over his eyes, he dashes off the tears that are welling, and gathers his gun close up to his breast, as if to keep down the heart swelling. He passes the fountain, the blasted pine tree, and his footstep is lagging and weary. Yet onward he goes through the broad belt of light, toward the shades of the forest so dreary. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Hark, was it the night wind that rustles the leaves? Was it the moonlight so wonderfully flashing? It looked like a rifle, a merry goodbye, and his lifeblood in ebbing and flashing. All quiet along the Potomac tonight, no sound save the rush of the river. Like soft falls the dew on the face of the dead, the pickets of duty forever. All quiet along the Potomac.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set
them
roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention,
world order, a new
world order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency! Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for...
Touch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We are the knights who say nay.
We are not the knights who say nay. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and a big, great, big, fat, stinky, sweaty welcome to all our new listeners that just jumped in here on Liberty Tree Radio. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com for my regular listeners. And we're going out all over the place. All kinds of delayed programs, people downloading it, sending it out. But we are most happy about LibertyTreeRadio.com. The pinnacle. The crown jewel of the Patriot Broadcasting Networks, if you would. I'm not trying to butter him up. It's true. I'm to know that that my feeble little voice goes out on the same network that is run by the Kornkes, by Ed Kornke, and the voice of his father on there. It's just wow. It's just amazing. I just feel like a part of something beautiful. I'm feeling verklempt. But we are live right now. It's Monday the 11th? Did you say 11th of October? The 11th day of October 2010. Yeah, yesterday was 10-10-10, and everybody was freaking out about it.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, Lou saying, I got to get married on 10-10-10. He was out proposing to the cats and stuff. I told him he couldn't marry the cats. I don't know why he wanted to do that. But we were not here Friday. I want to let that out again. I got trapped at the VA. We went to the Veterans Administration, the hospital. I get my medical benefit from the government. And they just took forever. And by the time we got out, it was like 4:30, and we were already 70 miles away, which is an hour and a half, you know, up here, because we had to drive through the mountains and all that stuff. So, so we didn't even make an attempt, and I apologize to everyone. But hopefully, you got to listen to a replay. You've got to listen to last Wednesday's show again, where I interviewed three ladies from our training that we had done that day, and. I heard it again, and it was really good. It was like sometimes I make good radio, just in spite of me getting in the way, and I'm just like, wow, it's really good to do that stuff. Chuck is asking if he was out here, and we promised him some training videos and some books. We forgot to give them to him. Lou's burning all your videos right now. You're going to get some really good training videos, and the pastor is telling me some books to give you, and we're going to send a care package out to you probably by the end of the week. Don't you think, Lou, you'll be ready by then?
Huh?
End of the week, we should have everything done?
No.
Earlier?
No.
No, okay. Maybe later. Because Lou is editing the videos. He's not editing. He's converting the videos for editing of the conference. 11 or 12 hours of video that we have to put together and send out to people. If you're interested in finding out more about who I am, if you're a first-time listener, you can go to dutchjones.info. And make sure you spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. That's dutchjones.info. DutchJones.info. And if you like what we're doing here, if you're a longtime listener and you haven't promoted the show or supported the show and you're just feeling this inkling like you need to do your part, there's a chip in there, and there's also a post office box there you can send money to. I was telling people before the break, go get a bar mitzvah card, address it to Dutch Jones, post office box 31, it's all over there, Cahuilla, California 93237. But go to DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info, and you can do it there. We did have a militia video up. I don't know if we've taken it down yet. We decided to take it down. It's not like YouTube got rid of it or anything. We're just we're taking our training to a stealthy level. We're going to have two phases of training, above ground training and sneaky training. It's not illegal or anything. We just don't want to provide them with really cool photos and video of us doing stuff. We don't want them to know how much we know. But our public training is still open, although we are going to suspend it for the next 2 months. There will be no public training in November or December, not because we don't like you, but because we're busy, because we just decided yesterday as a church, we're going to enter the Christmas parade.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to build a float, and we're either thinking Christmas at Valley Forge, or that Christmas Day event that occurred during World War II between the French, the British, and the Germans, when they stopped fighting on Christmas Eve and exchanged gifts and played soccer. We're trying to figure out how to get that into a float. And we'll have a narrator, you know, we'll be reading the stuff and playing Christmas carols. And we'll all be dressed up in period, you know, World War I. Or I want to do Christmas at Valley Forge.
Can I tell you about my idea?
What was your idea? Debbie's going to come over and tell her what her idea for it was. Come over here. Get over towards the mic.
Okay, my idea is to have
Civil War Christmas.
No, George Washington leading the troops in prayer on their knees in the snow with everyone in their you know, tattered.
Yeah, thing. Burlap boots.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be good. We could do something like that. He's been known to have led his men in prayer. That would be good. And then, of course, there was a couple of people in the crowd said, well, let's just do a modern militia Christmas. Let's have all our tactical gear on. And I'm like, no. You know, I mean, one day, after we win, we'll be able to do that. But we just can't do that right now. Yeah. Chuck's asking if he can be in it with a 50 cal. Yeah, we, you know, muzzle loaders. I thought it'd be fun. You know, they're not going to get all upset. And we're thinking, like, Merry Christmas from the Cahuilla Militia.
Christmas with the Confederacy.
Christmas with the Confederacy. That whole big old Confederate flag. That would be good. You know, hanging Sherman in effigy. I think there's... See, now you got my mind working, Lou. You know, we could do Six Semper Tyrannis and have, like, that moment when Jackson Wilkes Booth puts that derringer to Lincoln's head. You know, two Masons killing each other.
You'd be wearing a Santa hat, too.
Yeah, put a Santa hat on John Wilkes Booth. Oh, boy. We would get into trouble. This little town, they don't like us now. Oh, a Browning BMG. Chuck wants to bring a 50 cal Browning. I don't know if they had a 50 BMG. I'm not an expert in firearms during the American Revolution. It would have been a lot different if they had.
Muzzleloader.
Yeah, 50 cal muzzleloader. We could get what was it, the Confederate sniper's name?
Jack Hinson.
Jack Hinson, his 42-inch barreled 50 cal that he used to kill over 100 Yankees. Oh, I love it. He had a whole boat surrender to him. Yeah, we could do that. Christmas with a Confederate sniper. But we're going to be busy doing that. And we've got holidays, and also, and you guys know I'm not big, I'm not big on the ballot box, but our church provides like 99% of the ballot workers for the November election coming up in November. So that's why we're not going to do one, a training for October, because we're training people. And they've done it for years. How many years has the church been the ballot people? I've been here 5 years almost, and they've done it. Huh? Yes. 10 years at least. You know, it's one of those things about taking dominion around you. Nobody wanted to do it, so the church is doing it. They don't have it at our church. They do it at the Veterans Administration Building, our memorial building downtown in our thriving metropolis of Three Rivers, 6,000 people. And so they do that, so they don't do that. And then, of course, November, we've got the Thanksgiving holiday. December, we got the Christmas holiday. I may do some, Lou's been showing me some great training stuff that he's been studying online. And we may be doing some classes on that.
I call it combat homeschooling.
Combat homeschooling. Say that again, Lou. I can't tell if I can hear you. Go ahead.
Combat homeschooling?
Yeah, see, I don't hear you, man.
Kind of a shame.
Yeah, here, hang on a second. I'm going to move your mic. Okay, now say combat homeschooling.
Combat homeschooling.
You got to say it. Announce yourself with authority, you little fella.
Combat homeschooling.
There you go.
On with it.
On with it. Let's get on with the show. So, get that fan out of there. So we're going to start in January, and we're going to have our Sunday training that's open to anyone. No, and you know, Chuck made a joke about how usually we don't train anybody unless they've been somewhere before they come here. Front Sight, DFT, Thunder Ranch, all these different types of things. That's kind of a safety requirement if you want to do martial training with us. But what we've changed it to is not just that now. You have to have martial training from somebody, military, police, you know, whatever. And, well, yeah, we do have cops that come out, believe it or not. We do have, you know, not all cops are bad, just 99.9% of them. but our free training will be open to anyone, and those are on Sunday afternoons. Our Saturday trainings and our four-day-long rifle, pistol, tactical training stuff, you have to go to the free training first. We want to get to know you. It's an OPSEC issue, operational security issue. We want to get to know you a little better. Plus, it's a safety issue. And it's a good case for you to see we're not a bunch of wackos. Wouldn't you much rather be around us sitting around a campfire talking about stuff and laid back and then doing like a navigational compass class or a firefighting class or a, you know, a battlefield triage class than your first meeting with us to be we're all armed and ready to go? It'll just make you more comfortable, I think, if you come up. And I'll continue to announce those free trainings. Now, I don't know, Chuck and Carla, who are in the chat room, they are our most recent victims. They came out all the way from Oklahoma. I hope you don't mind me doing this. Do you mind me talking about this, Chuck? Let me know in the chat room. I'll shut up. But, I mean, you already did the interview. You were here. But, anyway, and they kind of skipped the having to go somewhere else because we were able to do more one-on-one with them. And we started out, you know, with our basic safety class and all that kind of stuff. And then we got up, and then by the middle of the day, we were doing, you know, shoot and move, you know, scenarios and all that kind of stuff. Then I'd back off a little bit when people get a little frustrated, maybe with the learning curve. Some of the ladies here were getting angry at me. I know you weren't getting mad, but you're getting a little frustrated. Yeah. And then we went to, you know, simulated shooting, you know, in scenarios. But normally you have to come to a Sunday afternoon training with us first. And what that means is you show up 10 a.m. on Sunday. If you're coming a long way, let us know. We'll find a place to put you up. Chuck slept on our floor, but we actually, you know, we were full up that weekend. But normally we have a nice little home for you to sleep in. Rocky Hill just checked in.
Yay!
Debbie says hi. I'm not calling him honey, so I'm just Debbie just says hi, and that's it. But we, you know, we encourage you to come out 10 a.m. Sunday, go through our church service. Yes, it's prerequisite. We're not a 501c3 church. This isn't a food bank. We're not prohibited from forcing you to hear the gospel before you train with us. We're not going to let you train with us unless you hear the gospel. Ooh, poor, big, bad, mean Christians, right? But then you'll chat with us for lunch, and then we'll do an afternoon training. But starting in January, that third weekend in January, the Sunday training will be firefighting, fire suppression. And if you don't think you need to learn that, go back and watch all of the Waco videos. Go back and watch the Waco videos, and then tell me you don't need to learn how to fight fires. Fire is a tactic of war. It's a tool of war. It's definitely a tool in the New World Order. So it'd be better if you did that. Well, without that, we're going to get right back into it. Our next phase of training that, you know, we always visit hardening your target, making your house harder to hit, coming up with a plan. And Lewis shared some stuff with me today that was just really good. What was it called?
Midway USA's the best defense.
Yeah, the best defense. And it was all nothing militia. It was all focused on this really unlucky lady in all the scenarios. There were actually two or three women, but there was one woman that got beat up more than the others, and home invasion stuff, and how she functioned through those, and how she pre-placed security and defensive equipment and offensive equipment. And it was some good videos. And I couldn't believe it was on the Outdoor Channel, put out by Midway, and it was some pretty aggressive stuff. Then I realized it was underwritten by Blackwater. It was Blackwater. They were training at the Blackwater facility. It was a Blackhawk instructor, and then what's his first name? Pincus?
Rob Pincus.
Rob Pincus, formerly of Valhalla, and now of what's it called?
Ice Training.
Yeah, Ice Training, and good guy. He does things a little different than we do. But they had the scenarios where you see the woman getting attacked. It's like, how could this have gone differently? It was real hard to watch at first. And they were all based on actual scenarios that have happened. A lot of it was shot in Utah, and some of it at the old Blackwater facility, like in South Carolina or whatever. That's where the range stuff was. You should have listened to the first hour, Rocky Hill. I'm not going to rehash what we talked about in the first hour. We tend to think of ourselves as too safe in our homes. I love this. Like they showed this one scenario where you should have a bar on your sliding glass door to keep it from opening. It's a sliding glass door. Any crackhead worth his weight is going to pick up your lawn furniture and throw it right through the window. A bar, whether it's at the bottom, the top, or the middle, or all three, is not going to stop you from coming in. I hate sliding glass doors. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get a whole bunch of plywood and replace them. No, you still want to look out. There are different types of glass you can get, and it's an investment that'll make it almost impossible to break. Put Lexan in there. Get that safety glass that has the wire in it. Remember that one? Kids in all the institutional buildings as kids. So there's got to be, you know, a way you can get around that. Bookcases. Have a bookcase you can put in front of it and anchor. Remember my tactics, and I won't go over it again, where I tell you to take cable dog leashes with eyelets and put over it. The door thing that I really liked, and I've talked about it before, but they took it two or three steps longer. They're actually talking about putting four hinges at least on your door. Of course, with the longer screws, a longer lock plate that the deadbolts go into, deeper, bigger screws. Of course, in a scenario of a home invasion, you're not going to have time to sink the screws in like we would to anchor the entire door down. But the stronger the door, the better. You don't want a panel door. You want an exterior solid door, because the panels, even though it's solid wood, they can kick out those panels, reach in, and unlock the door. Which I thought was pretty insightful. I never even thought about that with the doors. I always thought, you know, as long as it's not a cardboard door, you're a little better. But then you think about how many times, you know, through training, kicking a door in is nothing. Opening a door is nothing. So if you don't have, you know, you do the Abbott and Costello thing and stack everything in front of it, if you don't have time to do that. So you got to have a safe room, especially for your women and kids. They've got to get to a safe room. And I'm talking about a criminal situation here, not a ATF comes to murder your children. That's different, and that's a bug out scenario. But in a home takeover robbery, which they're like on the rise here. Not a day goes by that we don't have a home takeover robbery within 50 miles of here, in every direction. It happens. Have a safe room that you have pre-positioned cell phone. Now I want to talk to you about the cell phone here. Everybody says, well, you know, I carry my cell phone with me. No. Old cell phones will still dial 911. Keep a charger and a cell phone by your bed, in the bathroom, whatever your safe room is. And have it in there. Always have it charged. You can dial 911. But the problem is, if it's not an activated phone, they usually won't be able to tell you where you're going or where you're at when they call. So have a script ready. Yes, a script. Very bold letters, a few lines. Hi, my name is Dutch Jones. I live at blankety blankety blank. And there's an intruder in my house. I'm in fear for my life, and I have a gun, and I will defend myself. Please send the police if that's what you want to do. Because under the stress, you're going to forget your address. You're going to, I mean, listen to a handful of 911 tapes that people call. Just regular, oh, Grandma fell down. Where are you at? Where am I? And have your weapon ready, maybe a flashlight. Have cover and concealment ready. Don't like one of the things they showed, and I liked it, because the first thing I'm like, one, she's got her back to a window. How do you know he doesn't have a, you know, granted she was on the second floor a couple times, but he could have an accomplice, and they've cased you enough. They know where your bedroom window is, and he's going to come through the window. Don't be in line with the door. Some maniac may shoot through the door. You want to, you want to make that person work when they come through. But have a plan. Have everything pre-positioned. Know what you're going to say on that phone, and take a phone off the hook. Some systems, when one phone's off the hook, you can't dial. And I guarantee you, 90% of you, I can gain access to your phone line from outside, and with my Gerber tool and two moves, your phone's done. Cell phone, unless I'm some intellectual criminal, and I have a jammer, which they do make jammers. I don't know how, that's pretty scary, a home invasion robbery, some drugged up punk with a cell phone jammer, but then you just make your stand. You have to pick a safe room that everybody can get to. You have to drill. You have to train that if this happens, if you hear a crash, something scary, get into mommy and daddy's room. Big kids grab the little kids. There's spider eggs under here. I'm going to get rid of these. No, you don't want to run screaming. You want to be stealthful. You want to get to the room.
I mean a spider.
Oh, because the spider. I thought you were commenting. Are you even listening to the show? Spider eggs don't scare me. Spiders bug me. But I like to shoot them. But the more preparation we do, the better chance we have of survival. And if you've got a stashed gun, keep it there. Don't make it your carry. Don't make it the gun you go plinking with. Keep it in the bedroom. Mount it behind the headboard. Put it up high in a closet if you're one of those people that don't train your kids, which I can't imagine having a gun in the home and not training them to stay away from it or training them to use it if they're old enough. It's ridiculous to me. I still can't believe somebody asked that question. You have guns in your house with your kids? Well, yeah. In fact, my kids have their own guns. What's wrong with you? So doing those types of things and planning it out and making certain that everyone in the family is part of the plan, it's just like your bug out plan. If you don't practice it, it's not going to be any good. An army that doesn't train is useless. A family that doesn't train is a victim, just a potential victim. The color code of awareness, people keep changing that, but just having street smarts, using verbal commands that, are intimidating, let them know that you're not a sheep, that you're a wolf, or better yet, a sheepdog, if you're protecting your sheep. A lot of these guys are cowards. They're used to their victims just screaming and flailing around and complying because they don't want to get hurt. I would say, again, the large number of Americans have never even been in a fist fight anymore because of the way our culture's become. They don't know what it feels like to get slapped across the face and thrown to the ground. And it may be the most traumatizing thing they've ever felt, so they're going to submit. Having entry security. You don't open the door for anybody. You don't open the door for anybody if the man of the house isn't there and ready to defend you. And even then, men can be victims too.
Yeah, some men.
Somebody you don't know is at the door, you talk through the door. What can I do for you? Candy gram. What do you need? I didn't order a candy gram. Watchtower. No, I'm not interested. Land shark. Burglar. Encyclopedia salesman. If it's an encyclopedia salesman, just shoot through the door. But you don't, why put yourself at risk? And you say, well, I don't want to be rude. Do you want to be alive and rude or pleasant and dead? I mean, it's ridiculous in this country the way people have lost their bearings.
No.
Somebody's asking me about smart meters. Are Warland? Is that Warland?
Yeah.
I think smart meters are another invasion into our privacy. For those of you that don't know, California is going to use digital electric meters and gas meters so they can drive down the street and collect your stuff. But anyway, that was a strange question. We're talking about shooting people, but land sharks, and he brings up. And I don't know why. You asked that question, kind of strange. But until you fortify your mind, it doesn't matter how much you fortify your house. If you're stupid, the weakness is still you opening the door. Your kids, I can't believe how many parents allow their 2 and 3 year old to answer the stinking door or answer the phone. Oh no, my mommy's in the shower. She's all naked right now. My daddy's on a business trip. Okay, who is it? Oh, bye. I used to do assessments for people. One of the security firms I worked for, we would do assessments for people. But what they didn't know is that we would attack their house without them even knowing it for like 2 or 3 weeks prior. And then I'd go into their home and play recordings of their kids giving out all that information on the phone.
What?
No, I'm just looking at you. And, you know, it'd be like, why do your kids answer the phone? I came to your house 3 times and somebody let me in. Or 2 of my operatives came in and they got full access to your house. They said there were one. We would do gas company. That's funny that you mentioned PG&E. We would do gas company, electric company. We'd do all that stuff, and people would let us in. You know, and then you go, why did your teenage daughter let me in when no one was here? Here I am, you know, a 30-some-year-old male. She didn't know who I am. Why are your kids not trained properly? And stranger danger stuff, you know, you joke about that stranger danger. I had a woman tell me, her husband actually hired us because the woman didn't think her kid could be abducted. She goes, oh, I don't want her knowing any of that. She's just smart. In 1 week, we picked up her kid 17 times. In 1 week, 1 7-day period, we were able to pick her up. We tried like 20 or 30. And we'd pick her up and the dad would be around the corner and we'd deliver to her dad. Oh, we got a puppy. Oh, we got candy. And then, of course, the mother was horrified and wanted to slap the father around. But sometimes it hurts to realize just how stupid you are when you're in a color code white. Somebody's got to slap your face and get you ready for this stuff. Well, we're talking about crime today because it's a good way to practice. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Go to DutchJones.info. Help us out, folks. DutchJones.info.
Thank you. will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. Filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems in your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Stop procrastinating, fool.
Yeah, stop procrastinating. Get, I'm talking about something else. No, I don't know what you're talking about. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We are back, and we're talking a little bit about just practical safety stuff for your house. And we're discussing a few things in the chat room. They're a little off on a tangent, but that's okay. Get the last half hour here. You're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you on U-Broadcast, CB Channel 2 in upstate New York. I guess we're still on Watchmen. I haven't heard from Doc over there. I need to check, see if we're still on the Watchmen Radio Network. But we are definitely on LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. Go check them out. Give them some love, too. I haven't checked our website yet to see if any of you have shown us any love. But we need some loving. That's all I'm going to say about that. Back to it, though, folks. And we're talking about how to harden your target against criminals. And it's a good level. Do that first, and it's also going to help you against goons, jackbooted thugs, bat fags. Whatever. In fact, bat fag's not in here. Where's bat fag? Must be working today. Keeping America safe for democracy, right? But so many people, they get in their home, they nest, they get in their castle, their men, and they just think, oh, everything's fine, nothing's going to happen to me. But they've never even looked at just how weak a structure they're in. They never looked at, I mean, how many men still check all the locks and stuff in a house at night? You know, where we are, we're in a two-story structure. You'd need a ladder to get up. We'd kind of hear that. But if we didn't, you know, so, you know, in our windows, some of them have locks, some don't. It's an old structure that's been put together, but not a house specifically. We went from living in a janitor's closet in the library to living in a milk shed that's been modified, and it's kind of cool. Stacy likes it. But whatever you live in, whether it's a van down by the river, you're living in a camper shell down by the border doing your part for that, you've got to come up with a sphere of security plan. 360-degree security. I'm not talking about electronics. I'm not big on electronics because you know what? Electronics fail. Electronics get compromised. Use mechanical means. He's on the border. So I'm real big on 100-pound test fishing wire. and jars of marbles. You know, this is if, you know you're going to be intruded, or you have that, you know, you have that weird hinky feeling, you know, as you go to bed at night. But I would do it every night. Get used to it. Get used to just putting these little trip wires up, you know, that knock marbles on the floor. It's going to slow the guy up. Maybe even take him out. I can tell you, if some guy comes through your front door, a bunch of marbles go everywhere, and he steps on him, his head goes back and hits the ceramic tile, he may have won the fight before it's even over. And that comes back to like, well, booby traps are bad because you might get your 16-year-old daughter, she's sneaking back in. Why is your 16-year-old daughter sneaking out at night? And how is she getting out without you knowing about it? I always hate that. I'd never have a gun in my house, because what if one of my teenagers is coming home like at 2 in the morning and he's drunk? Yeah, that does happen, but that's a whole other problem that we can't handle on this show. You know, you have to have safe words, you have to have, you know, things. It's like, I love people who use hide-a-keys and those plastic rocks. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what they look like. Any criminal worth his weight knows what a hide-a-key plastic rock looks like. You know, so you've got to come up with a security plan. You can't just keep saying, well, it's never going to happen to me. Going back to the first hour, that Mutual of Omaha effect, the Wild Kingdom effect, where as long as only the weak and the herd are getting preyed upon, what do I care? What do I care? Before I said the best way to get out of a situation like that is to just avoid it. Your best weapon is your brain. And your second level is probably your voice. Sounding like you mean business, looking like you mean business, the way you walk around. I could pick a victim out. If I were a criminal, there'd be a lot of people crying. You know, it'd be easy to rob about 80% of the people in this country. And maybe I'm being generous with that. People who don't look you in the eye, they put their feet down, their shoulders are slumped, they're walking through the mall. And then you got these other idiots that are blissfully ignorant of what's going on around them. They got a wad of cash in one hand as they're walking away from the ATM going, 100, 200, 300. They're walking between cars. They're not looking for danger zones. I'm just astonished. You know, I sit and watch. I'm a people watcher. And I'm like, man, these people are so lucky I'm a good guy. You know, that I'm saved and that I would never do this. They're professional victims. And I don't understand why there isn't just a lot more. We had a crime here recently where a moron who owns a chain of laundromats had about $10,000 or $20,000 in gold and diamonds in his store. And he talked about it, told people about it. Of course, he blabbed it to people. And if I knew about it, he got robbed. And, of course, his insurance is like, well, what are you doing keeping gold and diamonds in a laundromat that doesn't even have a safe? He just comes walking out. People put a gun in his head. Go back in the laundromat. It's ridiculous. We are our own worst enemies. When you come up with these things, do not share them with anyone outside your family. It is a strict need to know security level situation. And tell your kids, don't use your safe words. Don't use your passwords. You know, don't tell them daddy's got a bunch of black rifles in a secret compartment in a wall that he built. One, your kids shouldn't even know about it until they're old enough to be able to back you up. We are our own worst enemies. I know some good people that just every time they talk, they get themselves into trouble. And it's just, you don't know what to do with them. You know, you try and help them. Some people, I don't know. I can tell you, I've done it. I've been my own worst enemy a few times, but as I get older and wiser, I learn to do one thing, shut up. I love it when new people come to the church and they're like, what kind of guns do you have? What do you shoot? What kind of rounds do you use? I just go, I got some stuff. I got my grandpappy's old lever action Winchester 94 or whatever they call them. I got a Marlin. Stop bragging about what you got. I've told you stories on these radio networks on this show about a guy, a neighbor I had that went to a gun store, bought a bunch of SKSs and started bragging in the lobby of this gun shop about how much he had, and two little gangbangers followed him home. We had a shootout on our street because he was advertising what he had. If you're strong, act weak. If you're weak, act strong. But through both of those good chunks of advice right there, don't advertise what you got. Or use false stuff. Like, I can't remember if it was this last half hour. If you've got a militia clubhouse, they have nothing in it. Put a bunch of Disney videos and a big screen TV in there. Take whenever you're done training, take everything with you. Leave nothing in there for them to find. Don't be you know, baiting criminal elements. It's bad enough that they just randomly choose targets of opportunity. I'm laughing at what's in the chat room. You guys want to see what's going on in the chat room, you got to go there. Go to ubroadcast.com, ubroadcast.com. Go to live, and then you'll see the Dutch Jones Show. I think we're like number 6 or 7 there. And practice your family plan for invasions. You know, I've talked about bugging out. I've talked about disasters. I don't think I've ever talked about crime. I got some emails. How can you ever talk about crime? And even to an extent, I take it for granted. I just assume crime's always going to be there. That's why I'm always at an alert level of yellow, orange. Somebody pulls up our driveway. You know what the first thing I do is? Anybody know who that is? As I'm grabbing my pistol. Lou, check the window. I'm getting ready. You know, of course, we got weapons where they need to be. They're not in vaults or safes and disassembled. Who is this guy? And then when we do approach the person, just like you would in a parking lot, keep a safety distance between you and the person. Oh, that's rude. And if they start going, go, please stay back. Start small, work up. Put your hands up in front of your body and say, please stay back. If it doesn't work, then raise your voice. You know, these are things that are in your guts, people. You know it's there, but you go, oh, I don't want to be rude. And everyone is a potential risk. Just because it's a little old lady or a Girl Scout out there, who do you know who's standing in the dead space that you can't see when you open that door? You're in a parking lot. We saw this great scenario in one of the videos Lou was showing me. This, you know, attractive young lady with her hood up. Oh, excuse me, sir. Can you help me? My car made a funny noise and stopped. It's broken and I need to get somewhere. Can you help? As the guy's bending over, she's signaling with her other hand, and here comes the big goon with a knife to take his wallet and his car. Period. Don't assume just because it's a little old lady or a dainty little or a guy in a wheelchair. Ted Bundy used to pretend he had broken limbs. He'd put fake casts and stuff on to lure his victims, and as far as we know, his victims are in the hundreds. There are bad people out there, and this isn't just to come in and get your big screen TV and stuff. People will come in and devour your family. There are real life. We made jokes about vampires at the break. Yeah, I was making a joke about Lincoln being a Mason. I think everybody's a Mason that's in the White House. Chuck. but just commenting on the chat room, there are bad people out there roaming around. There are serial killers. We had a serial killer up here in Susanville. I just found out yesterday. He murdered like 6 young girls. They just let him out of jail on a technicality because he posted bail for a retrial. He had like 3 consecutive life sentences. They realized, you know, some shyster didn't cross his T or dot his I properly, so he gets a retrial. And the law is during retrial they can't incarcerate him. He's walking around Susanville right now. And I'm like, how? He's still alive? He's already been convicted once and let off on a technicality so he can try him again for three young girls. He's going to kill again. And, you know, without frightening your little chillins, we got a dust up in here. Look how bad that is. Without scaring your little chillins, you got to let them know that the boogeyman is real. Don't open that door. The boogeyman will come in. Don't run away. Don't, you know, be close to me. Stay within arm's length when we're at the mall. Over the weekend, we had that stranger abduction. I don't think I talked about this on the air. 8-year-old girl in front of her family. 8:30 at night, playing in the front yard. A white pickup pulls up. A young Hispanic male jumps out, grabs her, jumps in before anybody could do anything. The Amber Alert went out. They're looking for this guy. I'm getting angry. You know, they haven't had a stranger abduction in Fresno in 9 years, which surprised me. It's usually non-custodial parent or some other member of the family, you know, over a custody battle. He took this little girl, did terrible things to her. The whole city's looking for her, and the next day, early in the morning, John Q. Public is out getting ready, you know, to do some yard work. This guy was out of work. It was on all the news. I'm sure you saw it. He sees the truck. And in his mind, he says, well, I can run in and call 911 or I can save this girl. He does the right thing. He doesn't worry about the meter maids with guns. He jumps in his car and he goes after this guy. He uses his vehicle to stop him, blocks him in, demands the girl. And this abductor had a firearm. But this guy used verbal commands. He presented himself. I mean, you know, I think the spirit of the Lord was with this guy. I don't know if he was saved or not. But he kept saying, give me the girl, give me the girl. You're not going anywhere, give me the girl. And, you know, the other guy had a gun and he didn't have fear. And he saved this little girl and he caught the guy. Meanwhile, all these paid boys in blue are running around, you know, chomping donuts, and they can't find anything. This guy's been driving around all night. Fortunately, the city of Fresno reacted like I didn't expect him to. I thought they were going to scold him for being a vigilante. But instead, he's a hero. He's got all these job offers. You know, and if this had happened in L.A., the police chief would be like, you know, oh, please don't use this as an example. You should never take the law into your own hands. If he'd have run in the house to call, oh, yeah, I saw him going down 6th Street East, he'd probably be dead now.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be for certain, but probably. Because he doesn't want a witness after what he did to her. And people just aren't alert. How many houses did that truck drive by in that 24-hour period, or, let's say, 18-hour period, and nobody gave it a second look? And this one guy, because it was everywhere. Every 5 minutes they were breaking in on the radio. We're up here 70, 80 miles away, and Stacy's like, let's go look for this little girl. I'm like, there's really nothing. It's not in our area. You know, let's just, when we prayed for her. And it's just incredibly awesome to me that this one guy. And it's funny, the bad guy was a Bulldog gang member, probably an illegal alien. And the good guy was, they didn't say he was an illegal alien, but he's a Mexican. Shows both sides of the coin there. You know? That, you know, you're automatically not a bad guy. But, you know, if he is illegal, they should still, you know, deport him, but then let him come right back in legally. The other guy should just be thrown to the lions, but they won't. 7 years from now, if I'm still doing the show and we still aren't under and if we're not under martial law, we'll probably be talking about the case. Oh, he finally went to court today. The little girl's in an insane asylum because of what he did to her, but he's been fed 3 meals a day and living the great life as a gang member in prison. I pray an imprecatory prayer that the people in the county jail get a hold of him, that some guard leaves his cell slightly open, because he's in protective custody, from what I understand.
Oh, but heard he was in general pop.
Oh, if he's in general population, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There are villains and vile people out there. That's the point. I kind of got off on a tangent there, but how do you prepare your children for it? Only you know. You know, Lou's almost 15 here, you know. He can take it, but my daughter, she's 10. She doesn't need... I just say boogeymen and bad people. And you do what you can, but then, you know, when it comes down to it, you've got to, you know, turn it over to the Lord. Let Him protect them, but you still got to do everything you can and prepare. Now, and the other question I get with this one is people always say, well, what should I carry? What kind of weapon should I use? Use whatever weapon you can use that you can master comfortably under a stressful situation. Everything you do is going to probably be 50% cut. If you're doing an 8-inch group at, let's say, 10 paces with your pistol, it's going to be a 20-inch group under stress. And if a guy's standing sideways, could you miss him? Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just because I'm saying you're going to freak out. It's because of the physiology of the human body, the way God made us. Blood rushes different places, pupils dilate or constrict.
Motor skills.
You can only use
simple
motor skills. Thank you, Lou. I was trying to find a word and I couldn't find it. I was fishing for it in the air. Gross motor skills are the only ones you're going to be able to use. And so learn that. Learn how to do stuff. Learn how to shoot with both hands. I introduced some people to that this week. And they were like, wow, Stacy had an epiphany. She shoots better with her support hand. And we found out, we now switched it. Her support hand's now her firing hand. You're not going to know unless you should do it 50-50. You should train 50-50. Know the limits of your weapon. So, if you get a 20-inch group at, let's say, 15 meters, which in a house is ridiculous because that's huge. Most gunfights are going to happen within 7 to 10 feet. You need to know how to shoot it. You need how to shoot it from the ready position. You need how to shoot from drawing it right out of your holster. So, whatever pistol, shotgun that you can do that with is good for you. I'm not going to say, you know, I don't like the 40 cal slow and weak, but it rates high. You know, it's better than a 9mm, but it's not as good as a 45. But if you have a 40, use it. If all you have is a 22, make sure you can reload and just keep sending rounds downrange. One recommendation people always ask me about is like what kind of shotgun to get, and I was reminded today of that. Magic even did this 2 years ago.
No.
Was it last year? A year ago? During our Old Paths conference, the demonstration with a shotgun. Everybody wants to go 1 ounce slugs or double up buck. Most of us, well, not me, but most of you live in stucco homes or drywall homes. And if you miss, where's that round going to go? You own every single round that comes out of your gun. And if you're fighting CQB in your house, it's not a shoot house. Most of us have done that stuff in shoot houses. The bullets don't go. beyond the room, but in reality, they go through. And I saw a great demonstration Lee showed me today that was on video where they shot through three walls with just about every, I mean, you know, a .223 round out of an M4. M4 is not a good home defense weapon for crime. Your neighbors are not going to like you because the rounds are going to leave your house and go into their baby's room. And God forbid you kill a neighbor's baby. The whole point of this is we're the good guys.
And all the
speak
stuff
up, Lou.
Was on the best defense, and I just posted a link to the...
Yeah, Lou just put the link in the chat room for best defense. You can get all this. You can buy all those videos that I'm talking about. A 12-gauge shotgun with number 7 or 8 shot, remember, you're going to be 7 to 10 feet away from the guy, is going to take him out. But it's not going to go through drywall. Now, the other thing is you can get frangible rounds. Certain home defense rounds are really good because they will not go through
hollow
the wall.
Point.
Hollow points, the tap rounds. Is that what I'm talking about? Not tap rounds, the hydroshock rounds. But test them. Go out to the range. Shoot some drywall. Shoot some 2x4s. See what you're going to do. We shot some cinder blocks this week to show people.
Yeah.
You know, what will happen if you fire this round through a cinder block? So, go. You know, if all you have is a Mini 14, I understand that. Maybe have a magazine of frangible rounds or hollow points so you don't endanger the guy three houses down that's sitting in his recliner. Because you're going to miss. Odds are you're going to miss a few rounds. In most gunfights, people empty their magazines anyway. The ones I've been involved in, you know, crime scene stuff, and then in combat, people love to empty their magazines because it's a lack of training. You know, shoot, scoot, seek cover, reload, whatever. But most people keep pulling that. You know, you see it in the movie. It's empty, Jim. Put down the gun. Click, 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 click as the cylinder rotates. Whatever gun it is you have, if it's a blunderbuss, learn to use it. Learn when is the maximum range for you, and you're only going to get that through practice. Now, I was talking earlier about how great it is to have airsoft. Train with airsoft in your house and see where your lines are going, your lines of sight. Where can you sneak a peek with your weapon in the close retention, you know, up against your chest so the guy can't grab it and still be able to see down the hall? What angles are you going to have to work? And if you pull that trigger and you miss, think about it. Go, where's that pellet going to go if it had gone through that wall? Change the angle. Learn to drop to your knee and shoot in an upward slope so the bullet exits through the roof of your house after it leaves the guy's head. Right? Still going to land somewhere, so you still own it, but the odds are greatly decreased if you're in a short hallway and you shoot the guy right out through the garage door and across the street, right? What's up, babe?
Nothing.
Thought you heard something. Coyotes?
No, I thought somebody was
okay. And I'm giving you the fast and dirty. I'm just trying to plant a seed here, and you got to water it. You got to throw some fertilizer on it. You got to go seek out these schools. If you're within driving distance of here, call us, come out and visit. I'll do one-on-one with you. I don't charge. I'm not, you know, I'm not front side. I'm not a master instructor. I'm not Rudy. I'm not Rudy Sledgehammer. What's his name? Wallbanger?
Waldinger.
Wallbanger. I'm not Rudy Waldinger. But I can show you some stuff. And I don't know, you can ask Chuck and Carla what they thought of the training. And we didn't even get to do as much training as we wanted because of just situational problems. But a little bit goes a long way if you keep doing it. Muscle memory is everything in this situation. And I'm here to tell you, you fire off a round from your 45 or a 40, you know, slow and weak in a hallway, it's going to shock you. What we do here is we have a 55-gallon drum that we lay down in with hearing protection on, and we fire it, and we hear how loud it is in that drum. I didn't do that to these guys. I didn't want to have them all week going, "What'd you say? I hear it ringing. Lou, what was that?" So... It's just the way it goes. If you don't train, you know, consistently, you know, what was it in Starship Troopers? Remember your training and you will get home alive. They do that all the time. I mean, I heard that in the military. And there is a certain truth to that because you revert back to your training. You know, you hear about all these stories about highway patrolmen stopping to pick up their expended rounds because that's how they trained them on the range. Be clean and neat. Or they train them to do the Weaver stance and not move, you know. However you train, that's how you're going to fight when everything shuts down because your body is going to go to it. Unless you don't train at all, and then it's just going to be, you know, screaming and running around and blood and guts everywhere. Oh, yeah. Olima's saying, they try to make it funny in the movies when both villain and good guy exhaust their bullets at the same time and they move to hand-to-hand Yep. Own every bullet. I think it's funny if you both have exactly three mags, you both fire the same. That is funny. My favorite scene is in Gross Point Blank when I can't remember which guy, John Cusack and Dan Aykroyd are in the kitchen in the final battle scene, and John Cusack runs out of ammo. And Dan Aykroyd's got like four or five guns on him. He goes, "Hey, I'll sell you one for $100,000. He's like, "Okay, can you spot me?" "Sure." And he throws him a gun. And as they're doing that, he ends up hitting him with a TV. But, yeah, you never run out the same. And, you know, the same time. So the more training you have, and you got to train to change those mags under stress. You got to train to change those mags when your fingers are shot and broken. You know, everybody knows somebody who's a hardcore trainer. We've got people that spray their hands with, you know, oil and stuff and then fight with that on just so they know what it's like in a bad situation and what can you do to overcome it. Thank you, Carla. Carla's saying she liked the training here in California. California has some hope. Little islands of it. Well, that's the end of the show. I didn't think it was going to be a good show. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. I'll look for your emails. Please tell people about the show. Please go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. Help us out there with the pitch-in. Every month we fall short, every single month, but then so does everybody else, I understand. But just get, you know, just do what you can. We'll be back tomorrow, which will be Tuesday the 12th. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I just kind of let the Lord lead me, see what happens in the news tonight. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. And remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. But he's asking you to stand in the gap. How will you answer the call? God bless you.